Well, I've had some ask me about the camp meeting in North Carolina, so I'll just tell you a little bit. And some of it's kind of like our camp meeting. You have to be there to experience the altar service, you know. I mean, how can you describe our Thursday night service, you know? I mean, you can say it lasted 2 hours, but how the altar service lasted 2 hours, and people were shouting all over and in the balcony, but it's kind of like that, you know. You when you're there, my, what an experience. And we had some good long altar services out there in North Carolina. Amen. On Tuesday night, my wife said she thought at least around 80% of the people was a-shouting. Amen. That's a pretty good percentage, you know. Usually, I think it's that principle of 1 out of 10 of those lepers that got healed. It's about 10 to 20% if we really having a move of God. But boy, I'm telling you, we had around 80%. And then on the other nights, we had an hour and 20-minute altar service, and just some real good things was happening. I appreciate y'all praying for me and helping me concerning that, because we want other areas to have camp meetings just like we had. You know, I love the holiness movement, I really do. I am so glad, and I believe, I'm not saying it's the only movement going to heaven or nothing like that. We're, you know, we don't make no claims that, you know, like there's some people believe their church is the church, you know. If you don't belong to our church, you ain't going. I don't believe that. Our church is all about experience. If you're born again and obeying God and living holy, I told them out there, I said, our headquarters is heaven, and our constitution and bylaws is the Bible. And if you get your orders from heaven and get you, you know, living from the Bible, then we're all one, aren't we? Amen. And but God moved in a special way out there. I understand y'all had some great services here as well, and the brothers preached good, and brother, the deacons led the service good, and I appreciate them so very much and what the Lord done in that manner. Now, I'll just tell you a couple of things here. We're going to have a prayer meeting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and as many of you that could come and be with us, please come and pray. You know, we have a little opening promise from the Word of God that I'd just say maybe 5 minutes about, but just faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And then we pray an hour or so, and God blesses us. So please come, and of course I want to encourage you to pray at home as well. And then I have something on my mind I'm going to try to announce and explain for a while. Because in October I'm having a revival with Brother John Burdine. Now, it is a revival. It's a revival for our church. Okay? Now, John Burdine's come and done kids' crusades for us and done great concerning that. But this is a revival, and it's for our church. But don't let this throw you, okay? Please don't let this throw you. Because I'm calling it a youth revival. That's the way I felt like doing it. Emphasizing the youth. Now, I know just as soon as I say youth revival, there will be people that will say, are we supposed to come if we're not young? This is a revival for our church, but you know, I'm going to try to push our young people in this revival. Is that all right? Now, guess what? We need older folks to come help push the young people in this revival. Now, what do you say about that? I'm not having I know sometimes we'll have a youth meeting, you know, where they have a little service and play volleyball and stuff. That's not what we're doing on this. I'm not going to say after service Friday night they may play volleyball. But in October, I think it's around the third week, we're going to have a youth revival And we're going to try to use our young people, push our young people. And we need some folks that's not so young to be there and push them and pray. What do y'all think about that? Amen. And so I felt like doing that earlier this year. I was scared to death to announce it that way, though, because I have had youth rallies, and guess what? I mean, when Brother Boost was alive, he's about as faithful as you could get to come to church. And we'd be having revival with Brother Neil Bridges. And you announce Friday night youth rally, and people wouldn't come. And I'd be so embarrassed because we'd have more visitors than we'd have home folks. I'm just telling you, this revival, I'm going to have to say it over and over and over and over again. I know I am. This revival is for our church. We're just emphasizing young people. We're pushing young people. And we want them to do good because we're proud of them. And we're excited about them. That's a great group of young people in the youth choir. What? Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm tempted to preach on is the young man safe again tonight and take it a little slower, but I better not. Could y'all stand? Let's pray that God would move in the remainder of this service. Oh, Father, my heart is stirred. Lord, I appreciate your help upon me, and I thank you so much for the anointing I felt in this service. And I'm wanting the Holy Ghost to have his way in my heart and life. Lord, speak through me. Help me to say the things that I need to say tonight. And anoint us, dear God, in a special way in this church service. And I give you the praise, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 5. Now, I read, I think that was the last message I preached right before our camp meeting. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1 is where I'm going to be reading again. It says here, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, we never required you to give everything. It was all yours, all the time. He says, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. I like this. They were healed, everyone. Oh, I love that right there. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, I'm just going to try to preach to you on the church survived and thrived. That's what I like to preach to you here tonight. The church survived and thrived. Now, I want you to notice here in verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church. Now, that may not mean much to you, but this is only the fourth time in the New Testament that the word church is used. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. That's the first time it was used. And then in Matthew 18 and 17, where Jesus was dealing with church discipline, how that you go to someone that has evidently done something terribly wrong, you confront them yourselves, and then you take two witnesses, and then if they don't repent, you tell it to the church. And most people's got it backwards. We tell it to the church, and then if it becomes a big deal, then we confront them, you know. But that's not what the Bible says. For the most part, you got to understand, this had to have been a pretty big sin. It wasn't just some small little disagreement on how somebody wore their tie or something, you know. Amen. It was something that was major enough that if they did not repent, they would excommunicate them. But what I want you to note is the word church is used there. I'm not preaching about that. And so he said that. Then the third time it's used is in Acts 2 and 47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I like all of that right there. But here we've went through quite a bit of stuff since Acts 2 and 47. We've had persecution. We've had threats. We've had Peter in prison. We've had all of these problems. And on top of that, Satan had a plot. If he couldn't get them through persecution, he would fill the heart of a hypocrite with a plan of what he was going to do. And this person received the plan of Satan and was planning and plotting along with him. They were tempting the Spirit. They were lying to the Spirit. And the Spirit judged them right then and there. Now, I preached a message on the motives of it. I don't know what the motives were. If they were jealous or envious of Barnabas, or if they was just wanting prominence in the church, or if they had a secret plan to get their will done by gathering folks around them, or whatever it was, I don't know. Amen. But God knew and God judged them, not because they didn't give it all, but because they lied. Because they lied to the Holy Ghost. They were hypocrites. That's what it was all about. Amen. They had that opportunity. But listen, that's a disappointing thing. I do not like it when we have to deal with sin in the church. I just don't like it. I can't stand it. It breaks my heart. There's been things I've had to deal with, amen, here as well as at other places. I remember one time back a number of years ago, I upped my prayer. And when I upped my prayer, it seemed like sin just came out from everywhere. And I had to deal with it, not even just here. People was asking me to come to other churches for whatever reason and deal with sin in their churches. And not just me, but with some others. And I'll tell you, to this day, I can't get to talking about that part, amen, of my life very long. I don't want to, because I'll tell you, it still hurts me very, very deeply. But all that I can say to you, amen, is this must have hurt the church deeply, what they were going through right then. Can you imagine God judging sin in such a quick and severe manner? Amen. I know it was God. I know it was the Spirit of the Lord. We all understand it. They all understood it. But you'll have to admit, that's a very heartbreaking situation there. A man and his wife dead in the church. Amen. And you can imagine the type of disturbance that it would bring. But can I tell you, the church not only survived persecution, it survived hypocrisy, and it survived church discipline, and it didn't just survive, it thrived. Amen. The Bible still tells us, and great fear came upon all the church, is still there. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you, sometimes the church can go through some pretty tough times. It may be persecution. It may be sometimes where God deals with sin. But the church can still survive and thrive and be alive, amen, even after the times of great disappointment and heartache. Can you say amen here tonight? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. You see, there's all kinds of things that happened. And most of all, you have to say that all of this was a satanic attack. Now, I'm going to preach to you and tell you that the devil does not like the church. You know why he hates the church? Because you're blood-bought. You're going to heaven. You have something that he can never have. That's forgiveness. You have redemption. You have salvation. You have the hope of being in the very presence of God Almighty. You really do. Amen. And he hates the church because God loves the church. Hallelujah. Amen. And so therefore, sometimes he comes against us. And it's not just the idea of flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual attack on people's minds and hearts. Amen. I knew a church. Amen. And there was a certain problem that would come up. Down through the years, a pastor would be there pastoring, and all of a sudden a certain church strife would come up. Amen. And it seemed like that many times a pastor would have to leave under that strife. Finally, a good man got there and recognized that even though it was different people and different individuals, is practically the same issue over and over and over again. And he got up and preached on ruling spirits at that church. And he said, here tonight, I am not taking issue with any particular person nor individual that has caused strife in this church down through the years. But I am standing against the ruling spirit that has worked in this church and caused people to talk and cause strife, amen, down through the years. And he had the church that agreed with him, and they all came up, I believe, and they all bound together, amen, to bind that evil, satanic, strifeful spirit that kept people stirred up, amen, at certain times, and asked God to bind the strong man, to bind the stronghold, to pull down the stronghold of strife. Amen. It always occurred. It's just a continual cycle. But do you know what? After they did that, the Spirit of God began to move in that church, and it turned in a very positive direction and is doing good even unto this day. I tell you, the devil hates the church, and he's always trying to find somebody that he can work through. Here it was. was Ananias and Sapphira. But I want to preach to you, amen, that the church can survive a satanic attack. The church can survive some self-exalted hypocrites. The church can survive the persecution that comes from without. Amen. And it can not only survive, but it can thrive. Amen. Here the Bible says that this church survived and they had great fear come upon them. Now, sometimes we look at revival and we read those scriptures where it said, great power, with great power they gave witness of the resurrection. And we read about great grace being upon them all. And for the most part, we don't like the great fear, but you know, great fear can bring a great revival as well. Amen. When people have an honor and respect for what the Spirit of God is trying to do. Notice that the Apostle Peter made it very plain. They was lying to the Holy Ghost. Amen. They was tempting the Spirit of God by what they were doing. They was not coming against him. They was coming against the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God in the church. And I tell you, amen, that we need to obey the Spirit and not tempt the Spirit. Hallelujah. We need to surrender to the Spirit and certainly not lie to the Holy Ghost. There are people that quench the Spirit, amen, and grieve the Spirit by their sinful talk and their sinful activities and their sinful mentalities. And I'll tell you, amen, God has mercy on a lot of folks many a times. I'm reminded of how God wanted to judge the children of Israel. And you know, the only reason that God did not wipe them off the face of the planet when that they made that golden calf is because they had an intercessor named Moses. Hey man, if Moses had not been the intercessor that he was, the children of Israel would have had judgment. And I'll tell you what, I pray for mercy all the time, that God would be merciful to our church, that God would be merciful to the people that sin in our church. Amen. And God would deal with them in kindness. I guarantee you, amen, when that people do wrong and God gives them a chance to repent and gives them a space to repent, and I guarantee you, it's because that not only myself, but others pray for God to have mercy. Let me tell you something. Sinning in the presence of God is a very severe thing. It just showed up here. It just was very plain here. And I'm not saying that God wouldn't do that again. But I'm telling you, I thank God for his mercy. I praise God for his mercy. I worship him for his mercy. And I want to preach to you and tell you, even as severe as this was, amen, the church went on. They went on because they were not of those that tempted the Spirit, nor grieved the Spirit, nor lied to the Spirit, nor rebelled against the Spirit, but they were of those that obeyed the Holy Ghost. Amen. And their reverential fear was what held them together. Amen. They had the whole church feared. And you say, well, that must have been a torment. It wasn't a tormenting spirit. They were honoring God in such a worshipful manner, standing in awe of his presence. Friend, amen, whether we be many or few, if it's camp meeting and we're packed from, amen, every corner of this place, amen, or it's, you know, a lot less sometimes, I want you to know something about this church. We have God in this place. Amen. And some people talk about meetings, and I read this by A.W. Tozer a long time ago. He said some people talk about meetings and they're only big if they got so many people there. Amen. Talk about thousands of people making it a big meeting. He said, no, that's not true. A big meeting meeting, amen, depends on how big the God is at the meeting. Amen. And if God is big in this service, we're having a big meeting. If God is present in this, you know why they had big meetings back in those days? Because the church feared God, honored God, stood in awe of God. And when they went to church, they knew that they was in the very presence of God. Amen. This was a worshipful thing. Hallelujah. This was a God-honoring thing. This was something where they stood back and prepared themselves for the presence of the living God when they came into the house of the Lord. Oh, praise His holy name. I want to preach to you that sometimes, amen, and listen, I know that there's an intensity about camp meeting. Amen. It's just there because you got to make some special sacrifices, and God blesses you for it. I also want to tell you, amen, that there is a blessing for every service that you come when you realize, and I realize that we are in the majesty, amen, of Almighty God. Hallelujah. They were in fear, the Bible says. They stood in fear. It was His holiness, His exaltedness, His greatness. Hallelujah. I read about the Azusa Street revival, and a fellow named Frank Bartleman said the glory of God was at Azusa Street in such a way that two blocks before he got to Azusa Street, a lot of times he would stop, amen, and prepare his heart to go into the presence of God. Oh, my friends, I want you to understand that sometimes we're very blinded to the greatness of this ordinary service. Hallelujah. You know, we have visitors come and they feel and sense a freedom here that sometimes we've gotten used to and we understand is here in a normal manner. Hey, man, we don't ever need to get used to it. I talked to Sister Savage one time and she was at Jack Cole's church and she said it was so big that they'd have tongues and interpretation of tongues and it wasn't, you know, what she said that there'd be a person speaking in tongues giving a message, say, over here on this side, and someone in unison speaking in tongues over here on this side, and then two people on either side would give forth the interpretation saying the same thing at the same time. Because the auditorium was so big, you know, one person just out in the congregation couldn't speak and everybody hear them. Can I tell you, that was God. Amen. She said, we saw healings and miracles on an ordinary, regular basis. But she also said, you know what? We got used to it. People got used to it. The regular service, we just got used to it. Hey, listen, God is in this place. God is right here. Amen. And sometimes, amen, I have a feeling that we expect God to perform some great thing in order for us to recognize His presence. And amen. But you notice here, great fear came on them that heard these things. They heard what happened and they believed. You know, amen. They didn't see it. They just heard about it. They believed that this took place. And I'll just tell you right now that those that hear the Word of God and believe the Word of God, amen, are going to be powerful, amen, in the end time church. Oh, glory to God. And so they had a fear that was of reverence and awe. They stood in awe at the presence of God. But they also believed. I'm getting on there. They had faith. They had fear, but they also had faith. They had faith to believe in God. Hey, man, they had an atmosphere. I like that where it says the Lord added to the church. Hey, man, I realize there were some folks that stayed away. And I think sometimes there's some folks afraid to come to church here And it's a compliment to us. You know why? Because they know if they come, they're going to have conviction on their heart. They know they may not be able to leave the same way they came. They know they're risking it. All I can say to you is we need to pray that God would help them to come and feel that conviction they are afraid to feel. Amen. Oh, God, give them a tender heart to want to come. You see, these people had faith. Amen. It says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Oh, for more believers. Hallelujah. We've got enough doubters, but we need more believers. I realize I was talking about people that got saved, and I think that we need to add more believers to our church. Amen. Why do you think that Jesus, I think it was Capernaum that he had spoken so hard against. Why do you think that Jesus took that blind man outside of the city and prayed for him? Amen. And then even after he prayed for him, his eyes, he said, I see men as trees walking. And then he prayed for him again and he was healed completely. Why do you think that happened? Why do you think that Jesus took him out of the city? Amen. Prayed for him one time and he didn't get completely healed. The creator of the universe. You think he could do anything anytime he wanted to? Amen. Why did that happen? Is it possible that the spirit of unbelief and rejection in that city was so powerful that he had to get that man as a judgment to that city outside the city? Is it possible? Hey man, you read in the Bible where he could do no mighty miracle in Nazareth. Why? Because of the hindrance of their unbelief. Isn't that right? Why did Jesus put everybody out when he was going to raise that little girl from the dead? Hey man, do you think he could have done it by? I believe he could have, but there's some type of principle there. There's some type of principle, and I will tell you right now, when the church is full of believers, hey man, when the church is full of faith, when the church comes expecting God to move, hey man, when church, hey man, starts with a certain expectation, hey man, God is in this place, and God's going to do something. I believe that there's a greater liberty, hey man, to have things happen than when folks are coming, hey man, and do not have faith. Woo! Hey man, we need more believers. I want to ask you, if Jesus was going to do a miracle today, right here, tonight, right here, who would he ask to leave? Who would he ask to stay? I want to ask, which group would we be in? Are we a hindrance to the move of the Spirit? Are we like, you know, these lines that have electricity flowing through? Are we, what is that called, a conductor? Is that what that's called? Are we a conductor of the power of God? Are we a hinderer of the power of God? Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. I'm telling you right now, folks. Amen. I feel like the Lord wants to build up our faith because the church can survive if we honor God in fear and if we have faith that he's still willing to do things in this end of time. Amen. I realize that some of y'all are facing great problems and no doubt you've come with things, amen, on your mind and heart that's hurting you. I'll tell you, there is faith in God that can change things about your life. They had fellowship. The Bible says they were all in one accord at Solomon's porch. Amen. In Solomon's porch. You know, the church survived even though the devil was trying to divide them or whatever he's trying to do right there in the earlier part of the chapter. The church survived and came together and still did what it was always doing. Amen. I want to preach to you, amen, that we need to continue in the works of God. I knew a preacher, he got sidetracked. He started preaching some things, doing some things, and really he had been such a great man. And he went through a certain time. I'm not going to get into it, but hey, man, he got real discouraged because really he got sidetracked in some of the stuff he was doing. And his wife went up to him one day and said to him, "What were we doing before all this started?" He said, "Well, I was preaching and people was getting saved and we's having revival and moves of the Holy Ghost." She said, and I'm afraid he didn't listen to her, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. She was right. She said, "You know what? We need to get back to doing what we was doing before all this." Amen. Well, let me tell you what happened. The devil tried to work in the church here, but the church just kept on doing what it was always doing. Hallelujah, kept on, amen, coming together in unity. And they were all in one accord at Solomon's porch. That's where they was gathering to worship and to pray and to hear God's word. They had a unity of love, a unity of expectation, and a unity, amen, of promoting the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to do what we've always done. Let's come together and lift up Jesus Christ. Let's come together and try to win some souls. Let's come together and let there be prayer and a spiritual revival take place in people's lives. Amen. After they came together, you notice that there was people added. Amen. I think it's interesting. Amen. That before this all happened, you know what happened? Amen. Oh, glory be to Jesus. I'll tell you, amen, the church was unified in Acts chapter 2, and it's unified in Acts chapter 5. Amen, the church multiplied in its disciples in Acts chapter 2, and it's still multiplying in Acts chapter 5. Amen, and the church was magnified by in the people's eyes in Acts chapter 2, and the Bible says, and the church was magnified in their eyes in Acts chapter 5. Let me tell you something. God can help us to do what the church has always done. Hallelujah. And more than that, Christ was magnified. Christ was exalted. And the apostles went forth and began to pray for the sick. And the sick were healed. Amazingly, all the sick were healed. I'd like to be in a service like that. I've been in services where some were healed. And that's been a great blessing. And, oh, I'd like for there to be such a unity of faith, such a unity of fellowship, such an honor and fear of God. Amen. That in all reality, there would be a loosing, a setting free. Amen. Of the power of God to touch people and heal the sick and loose folks from the powers that's coming against their minds and hearts. You say, "Brother Lord, I don't believe it can happen now." I believe that the church can not only survive during our time, I believe it can thrive. I believe it can go on, hallelujah, doing what it's always done until the trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. Yes, it's still God's will to heal the sick. It is still God's will. And I believe he wants to do it in a greater amount if we can have more believers at it. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Could we raise our hands and worship the Lord here? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Woo. Oh, I appreciate God. I appreciate his church. I thank the Lord for his good church. Amen. I'll just tell you right now, I love Fairland Holiness Church. I'm not saying we're the only church. I'll tell you what, God's blessed us with a good church. It started in a revival. Amen. In 1931 and 32. I know they didn't start having consecutive church services until 32, but there was many saved in 1931 in that revival that began, I believe, right here on these grounds. Had folks were saved. And listen, what God did back then, He still wants to stir folks right now. Hey, man, it's always been a miracle. Somebody getting saved is not a matter of technique. I believe it's a matter of prayer and a matter of the moving of the Spirit. The Lord added to the church. And if God did it before, I think He still wants the church to go on. Hey, man, in a spirit of revival and blessing. And healing. I'll ask you, how many could say that you have been healed? Amen. In answer to prayer, would you raise your hands? Look at all these hands. Now, I know that, amen, has there ever been anybody that would say you've never been healed? Would you raise your hand? I'm not trying to embarrass you. If you've never been healed, I'd like to see your hand. Just, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not saying you're a bad person or anything. I just want to know, is there somebody here say you could say you were sick and you've never been healed? You know what? I may have never been in a service where everybody we prayed for has been healed, but I am in a service right now where it looks to me like everybody's been healed at one time in your life or another. Glory to God. Sometimes, somewhere. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name. Amen. Do you realize if I was in some churches and I'd say, how many have not been healed? There'd be hands go up all over. But I am in a church service right now. Amen. Seems to me like the church can go on. Amen. No, He hadn't healed everybody I prayed for. I'll tell you, everybody here tonight evidently has been healed in answer to prayer sometime in your life or another. Oh, glory be to Jesus. I'll tell you, hey man, I'm not here to tempt the Spirit. I'm not here to lie to the Spirit. I'm not here to grieve the Spirit. I'm here to say, oh, Holy Ghost, come down and fill up our hearts and minds and souls and revive us again. Do it again, Lord. Change our lives again. Hey man, convict sinners again. Fill with the Holy Ghost again. Hallelujah, refill with the Spirit again. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Brother Bill Prescott was preaching the days out there at that camp meeting, and he said that, and he read from a certain debate of an atheist that was debating that there is no God, and the atheist made his arguments. And they had a question-answer time. And a man came up. It was from one of the Pacific Islands out there. And he said, sir, I want to ask you something. My ancestors were cannibals and savages. And a missionary came to my island and preached the gospel. And God saved my forefathers. And the cannibalism stopped. And we started loving one another. And we've got a civilized society. What would you, as an atheist, have to offer my people several generations ago? And the atheist was speechless. Can I tell you, we've got a lot to offer this old world. Amen. Amen. Some things work only when things are good and well and nobody needs to be healed and demons don't need to be cast out. I'm telling you, there's still a church around that believes that God
God can do anything, and still believes his presence is in a place like this, still believes Christ is exalted, amen, still believe demons can be cast out by the power of the living God. Oh, I'm preaching to you right now and telling you that God wants to use this church. Amen. It can survive. It can thrive. It can win souls. Hallelujah. It can go on in the mighty power of God. What's it going to take? Some of it's unity. Amen. And most all of it's faith in God. Amen. And a holy, reverent fear of God. I'll tell you, if we get that together, if we honor God and believe God and love one another, this church is unstoppable, because the power of God and the Christ that rose from the dead, amen, will be in this church. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Mike Roberts preached over there, and he got to telling about a demon-possessed man that was going to another fellow's church. And he called up Brother Mike and said, "Can you cast out this devil?" And he said, "I believe I can." He said, "Now, he's a big, bad man." He said, "Well, bring him on." Amen. Said he came over to the church. He said he had him and his son Aaron there. He said when he walked in the back door of the church, he said his head looked this big. He said he had his hair on end like a big afro, about this big. He said in that great big, he said he had a great big old beard and great big old hair. And he said it's set on the shoulders of a fellow that was about this wide and 6'2 or 3. He said he came walking up that aisle. He said it looked like he filled up the whole church. Amen. Now, a lot of y'all don't know Mike Roberts. I know you don't. Brother Mike said, "I got the oil." And he said he stopped right there. And he said, I got the oil. I put it on my hand. He said, I ran up to him. I said, "In the name of Jesus." And he said, and he fell down. And he said, I saw my opportunity right then. He said, I jumped on one arm. Amen. And my boy jumped on the other arm. And we started rebuking the devil out of that great big old mountain man. Hallelujah. He said, now, the pastor came with him and he said, he tapped me on the shoulder while I was praying. In the name of Jesus. Hey, some of y'all don't know Mike Roberts now. Amen. At any rate, amen. He said, I was praying, screaming. Said, the pastor tapped me on the arm. Amen. It came with him. He said, "Brother Mike, I need to go to the restroom." He said, he interrupted my prayer. Anyway, glory to God. Amen. But Brother Mike and Brother Aaron got to praying for him. Amen. And all of a sudden, he said he started slithering like a snake back down the aisle and said, just carry. Now, Brother Mike, how much you think Brother Mike Roberts weighs? Just guess, honey. Go ahead. 350 or so, maybe. Amen. That man and Aaron weighs about the same. And that man was carrying both of them, slithering like a snake. Amen. And Brother Mike and Aaron grabbed him again and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. Submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, that big man looked up and said, I'm free. Woo! I'm free. Boy, they had a shouting time right then. Can I tell you, the power of God still resides. The power of God, the church will survive. I know the devil's raging. I just want to tell you, there's still, I don't want to be assailing accusation, but there is a Christ that still dwells in a church, amen, that gives power to the church to do miracles, amen, to deliver folks and set them free from the powers of hell. Oh, could we all stand? Great Lord in heaven. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. D.L. Moody heard a fellow say, this world has never seen a man totally sold out to God. He said, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. And he shook two continents with revival. Amen. Oh, I'd like for us to be that church that survives and thrives in the midst of an end-time oppression of the devil. When others are compromising, we're still holding to the truth. When others have gone away from the Spirit of God, we still allow the Holy Ghost to have control of our lives. When others doubt, we're still believing. Hallelujah. And there's a unity of faith that brings about the possibility of miracles and healings taking place. Amen. How many want to surrender and be that church here tonight? I believe that we want to have that type of church. Yes. Going to have to be unified. Hallelujah. Going to have faith. Going to have, amen, that certain awe and fear of God. I'd like for us all to come around this altar. Let's lift up God in this altar service and let the Lord touch us and help us by His power. Amen. And we prayed for the sick already. You that's been prayed for, why don't you worship God and thank Him for being a great and miracle-working God. Amen. But if you need prayer here in a little bit, we'll pray for you. Amen. But we need to lift up the name of our God. Hallelujah.